This is the story of King Athelstan's Stone, written and recorded by Graham Killshaw. In this manner, through good knowledge of geometry, began the first craft of masonry. The clerk of geometry in Egyptian land, in Egypt, he taught it full wide, in diverse lands on every side. Many years afterward, I understand, before the craft came into this land, this craft came into England, as I now say, in the time of good King Athelstan's day. I stood in the presence of His Royal Highness King Athelstan of England in the year of our Lord 927. His court of noble master masons had completed the building of the Court of Star Chamber, with an altar built for the Holy Book in the center of the castle. Our king had placed the Holy Book on the altar, displaying in due form a square and compass. We, the companions of the court, had gathered through good knowledge of geometry in the ancient and noble craft of masonry for the great architect of the universe. King Athelstan's castle was being restored on a high cliff through our most ancient and noble art of stonemasonry. Before entering his court, we cleaned our tools, adorned lambskin aprons, and assembled before our master. In the east was placed the landmark and relic of our order, the Athelstan Stone. An ashlar is a stone that represents a soul. We masons had held dear the Athelstan Stone since before the time of Solomon the King. Since the time of wise King Solomon, we had sought to reestablish, through rituals and degrees, the great work now operating in King Athelstan's court. In the south was placed a perfect ashlar, and in the west was set a rough ashlar. There were two doors on either side of the altar, in the west of the inner court, and there were no windows into the Court of Star Chamber, whence stood the king. A royal decree had summoned the 12 chosen knights into the innermost sacred sanctum of King Athelstan's castle. The chamber was warm in the twilight of the setting sun, and it was guarded on both sides of the main door. The Court of Star Chamber was tiled beautifully, with a checkerboard floor and permanent chairs for every knight of the order. King Athelstan's gilded throne was situated in the east of the chamber. King Athelstan stood to welcome the royal guards and the knights of the court. The king stood soberly at attention, with his sword sheathed, just east of the altar, wearing his red royal sash and crown. Upon the altar, he placed a lighted brass lamp, the only light visible in the darkened chamber. The guarded hall, in which we were now sealed, smelled of the finest frankincense and myrrh. The guard had granted me the honor and duties of the chair in the south, and I was myself adorned with the proper sash. Thus began the ancient and noble rite of King Athelstan's court, that our swords and shields should function as a single body for England. King Athelstan, the son of Edward, was standing to inspect his knights on the east side of the altar. The knights gathered in a perfect semicircle. King Athelstan blessed the sacred host and prepared to administer communion to the assembly of knights. The king's hands were washed clean by the high priest there, adorned in white robes. The purest water ran over the king's hands and was dried clean with a white silk cloth, sewn in gold threads, illustrating the ancient code of light. with the holy book upon the altar were placed King Athelstan's stone, the scrolls of Abraham, and an encoded parchment representing the seven laws of Noah. The seven ancient laws had been marked by the reigning king in a mysterious ancient code of light. We knew that the king had sought, through the grace of God, to restore divine law and order across England, Rome, and Scotland, and to restore divine order as far and wide as the ascended hosts made possible. Even unto the lands of Arabia, from whence came one of the gathered knights, had King Athelstan sought to establish the most ancient Masonic order. A dignified Persian nobleman, now among us, had risked life and limb for the enduring court of King Athelstan. He had ventured on horseback as far as Mecca to retrieve a sacred stone that, according to the Holy Writ, had been granted from God in the earliest times. As a Mason, this Persian nobleman, our friend, had entered and departed Mecca of good report. He had returned bountiful in God's name with the cosmic ashlar, which was before us, there resting upon the altar. This renowned Mason, nobleman, and knight had told a story of coming across a learned poet in Mecca who had granted him admission into the noble shrine, the Kaaba. Therein, our nobleman had witnessed firsthand the reading of the poetic surahs making up the noble Quran. The presiding court in Mecca had poetically instructed our nobleman and mason to pay the worker his wages before his sweat dries. Our nobleman had then, through the providence of God, taken the cosmic ashlar with him on horseback and rode it for almost 3,000 miles northwest to England and across the English Channel. The round trip took over 8 years. Upon returning from his encounter at the mystic shrine, our Persian nobleman had been properly greeted as a brother at the gates of King Athelstan's castle. He was brought in and thanked by the coins of King Athelstan's realm in exchange for the coins he had earned in Mecca. For returning bountiful with the sacred stone, he was granted a lordship in King Athelstan's kingdom, which soon brought him into a position of knighthood and protection by the court through the grace of God. King Athelstan's court of Star Chamber was sealed from both sides of the door by the inner and outer guards. Whence properly sealed, the king invoked the presence of the archangels Michael and Gabriel and prayed that God would grant peace through the indwelling of his spirit. We the knights then arose to form a semicircle, opening towards the east before the altar of Athelstan's court of Star Chamber. There we sang our most ancient ode, the Song of Solomon, from chapter 5. This is my beloved, this is my friend, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. The high priest then commenced in prayer before us. Heavenly Father and Creator, aid us to perform the duties which thy law and our vows impose upon us. Thou hast vouchsafed to call us thy children, and doth gracefully permit us to call thee Father. May thy name be our glory and our confidence, our defense and guard, our strength, our dignity, and the motive of our obedience. May it confirm and sustain us in our good resolutions, and make us steadfast never to desert our posts of duty. That our bodies be chaste, our thoughts be pure, our words be gentle, and our lives be useful and innocent, to honor and praise of this your court of servants. Look upon us with mercy, forgive our imperfections, and accept with compassion the service we may render to the cause of justice, truth, and common humanity. To thee be all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. The 12 knights bowed together with one knee before the altar, answering to the high priest together, Amen. The high priest then spoke again, saying, The great name Ethelstan means noble stone. Through time, the Ethelstan stone has been called the cosmic ashlar, or the black stone of Mecca, from the noble shrine. It was known of to the prophets Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Solomon, Jesus, and Mohammed. The most noble stone is also a stone that represents a universal soul, the very soul of the Holy Ghost. Athelstan's name symbolizes the ancient, high, and noble stone that has come to represent his enduring order. Our brother knight in the west chair spoke. So be it then. Conduct the new initiates and imprint upon the tablets of their memories a knowledge of the duties together we are to assume. With full knowledge obtained through this court, we are to protect the innocent and punish the guilty. We are to labor in the cause of justice, truth, and common humanity. We are to unite in the inseparable bonds of this court and be invested with sacred knowledge from the cornerstone of Muhammad's holy shrine, whence he first placed King Ethelstan's stone in the year 632 of our Lord. Today we hold our noble cause with a just observance of the tenets of our faith. Let the teachings be engraving upon our hearts. Let the rewards and punishments be administered in the name of King Ethelstan of England, abiding in the eternal will of God. For him who so seeketh the constant faith has taught right direction. So let us work in this Masonic art to purify one another through this, our most ancient work. And let us take on the old duty of nobility since the time of King Solomon, from whom we have been invested this sacred cosmic ashlar. Let us swear upon our hearts to obey the seven laws of Noah and submit to the decrees of this Court of Star Chamber in the presence of King Ethelstan and by the direct order of King Solomon. May God strengthen our sound resolutions. God Almighty teaches us to exercise whatsoever powers we possess with gentleness and moderation for the benefit of humanity and to the glory of His Son. May God aid us to be faithful and loyal, frank and sincere, and teach us the mysteries of perfect peace and happiness. May God wash our hands in the water of innocence and cleanse ourselves from the snares of sin and vice. May God make us free from the stains of inequity, that the work of God's right hand will operate among us, granting us true fidelity and courage. May God give us divine love and grace. And so, where there are prophecies against us, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. And now we see in a mirror dimly, but then it will be face to face, abiding in true faith, hope, and love. So when the Son of Man returns in his glory, the angels of God shall come with him. The Son of Man shall sit in the glorious throne as king, and before him shall be brought together all the people of the world. He shall divide them and make them stand apart, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He shall put his sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king shall say to those on his right hand, Come, ye whom my Father has blessed. Come and take the kingdom which God has made ready for you. We answered once more to the high priest, saying, Amen. Each of us 12 then circumnavigated the altar 7 times, and each of us kissed the sacred Athelstan stone. King Athelstan then spoke once more. The noble stone represents at once a kingdom in heaven and a perfect geometrical cube. It came from paradise and was handed by the angel Gabriel to Abraham and Ishmael when they were building the first noble shrine, the first Kaaba. At this time, the sacred stone was snow white, reminiscent of the perfect ashlar. Kissing the Athelstan stone is the ceremony undertaken to absolve you of sin and purify you in the light of God. The guardians of the cosmic ashlar are set to guard the secrets of its sacred place from the unsanctified. Near 300 years ago, Muhammad came and restored its ancient dedication to God. And then, this very stone, resting before you, was taken by one of our knights of the Court of Star Chamber for safekeeping in England until heaven permits and grants us purpose once again on earth. We answered to King Athelstan together, saying, Amen. The Persian nobleman standing among us was then ordered to speak with candor in the English tongue. He dutifully spake. The black stone in Mecca we replaced with 12 smaller fragments of stone, now resting inside the Kaaba. Sealed in cement, surrounded with a portal of silver, rest the pieces of the lesser noble stone. The true cosmic ashlar we hold here, within these walls, in Athelgar Castle, for England. First bestowed by Archangel Gabriel, our ancient and noble order brought, through the power of God, to this Star Chamber Court, what will henceforth be known as the Athelstan Stone. We have placed a cloth of white silk upon it, in the east, with his throne. The old great hall is to be restored, for the house has been gathered together once more, in the name of the eternal and almighty God. We answered the Persian nobleman together, saying, Amen. The king then spake unto us, You are summoned to the great beast of Athelstan's court, that the vineyards of the Lord may strengthen you in spirit and body. We answered to King Athelstan together, saying, Amen. We then feasted upon the supper of the Lamb and ate of the bread. Ceremonial dancing in the greater hall continued through the night. Gradually we retired to our homes in a state of merriment and renewal in faith, coupled with maidens chosen by the king. From that night on, the songs of the peaceful troubadours, we call friends, went out and were sung across all the lands in the name of great King Athelstan. That night, in a restful, peaceful sleep, I heard the chorus of angels sing. Awake and arise, O ye slumbering nations, the heavens have opened their portals again. The last and the greatest of all dispensations has burst like a dawn o'er the children of men. The dream of the poet, the crown of the ages, the time that the prophets of Israel foretold, that glorious day only dreamed by the sages, is yours, O ye slumbering nations, behold. O lift up your voices in song and in story, let banners of peace in all lands be unfurled. For truth, heaven-born, in its beauty and glory, is marching triumphantly over the world. We were sons of light before Adam and Eve, and for all the sons of men, we did conceive, Christ consciousness, ingenuousness, love and light to lead us into fearlessness. Our code of light is in the scrolls of Abraham. Before the tablets written of, there was a man who gave his all to serve the call when the cosmic ashlar unto him did fall. He bowed down to the cosmic plan. The stone for King Solomon appeared in the sand with the golden rule and eternal tool that brought him into the cosmic light school. Within us is his eye of providence, merciful and compassionate radiance. The light code of our friends, we hold it in our hands, minds and hearts, opening up to the great architect's plans.